Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty here on a Wednesday evening for Thursday delivery. Got a fun show as always. We're going to discuss some of the latest news from this past weekend that still carry over to today. And of course, we'll preview the last card of the year for the UFC and probably, I guess you could call, the last major card in mixed martial arts, the UFC Fight Night coming up. That's headlined by Derek Lewis and Chris Daukaus. So that one's here at the UFC Apex. Bellator, like I said, is done. PFL's done. One championship, I believe, is even done. Plus, we still need to rewind a little and kind of give our thoughts on the World MMA Awards. It's always been something that we've covered pre and post, so we'll just give our thoughts there. As we get closer to the holidays, obviously, maybe we might get warm and fuzzy and talk about what's going on in regards to that, especially with an update on our schedule for next week. So buckle up, Junkie Nation. Let's get started on a show here for Thursday, December 17th, 16th delivery. Excuse me, I need my glasses. Some of these numbers are tougher to see, man. It is December 15th today. So, yeah, it's a December 16th show. I know we're in the 3200s. I got to come up with a strategy, Goes. What would you think of on April 11, 22, it'll be our 15-year anniversary. What would you think if on that same day, because it happens to be a Monday, I already looked it up, we could also celebrate our 3,300 show flat. You know how we like those round numbers? It's not like a milestone number like the halves, you know, the thousands or the 500s, but it's still a round number. What would you think if we could kind of pick up the pace a little and do those both on the same day? I think that'd be cool, right?
How do we do that, though?
Well, I have an idea. Remember those shows that we did last year on Sportscaster, now known as Panda, where we were kind of doing three per week, but they were all really just on the Panda website or Sportscaster website. But I still think we had some interesting interviews. And I think, you know, whatever that's relevant from there, we could put together and maybe add like a little third show. But I think if we do that, just pick up the pace a little bit, then we'll be all right for 3,300th show sometime in April. To be exact, April 11, 2022. I almost forgot. Our first show was April 11, 2007. And this one would be April 11, 2022. It would be 15 years. And I think if we can get 3,300, that'd be cool. I think people have always tripped out when we kind of hit that yearly mark in April and everybody goes, cool, man, that's awesome, keep it going, fellas, blah 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 blah, and then sometime later in the year we're like, guess what, another round number. And then I would if I was a listener or a fan, I'd be like, these motherfuckers, like, we get it, all right, you're up there, you know, like, you know what I mean?
do you like
those little pats on the back a couple times a year?
No, well, we had one run that was kind of disgraceful. I can't remember. We had like four things in the span of like 8 months where even I was like, all right, enough already. And I'm on the show. But yeah, this one, 15 years is a cool one. I like that.
Yeah, that's a nice round landmark number that I'll be definitely proud of. And if we can throw 3,300 on top, that'd be pretty cool. Whatever, it's just something that we can discuss, but a lot of the hardcore listeners will usually reach out to me after a show and express interest, ask a question, add a comment or whatever. So if anybody cares, go ahead and let us know.
I was gonna say I'd like to maybe have like somebody in the first 5 years of when we started our show a guest there. Then from 5 to 10, another one. And then a more modern one, I think, would be fun to have like three guests or something, you know, mm-hmm. from different time periods of our show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be fun.
I agree. Those are three different eras. I think the first one's kind of like that Anderson GSP era. And then the next one's kind of like the Connor and Rhonda era. And I'm sure Connor wouldn't like to hear this, but it's not really his. I mean, it is his era in terms of how powerful and rich and famous he is, but, you know, not in terms of him being on top with a belt. He's still the number one pay-per-view draw. I get that. It'll be hard to really topple him, honestly, but
mm-hmm.
I guess the most relevant fighters at this point probably have to be like Usman, Valentina.
Izzy would be fun, I think.
Perhaps too. Perhaps
what if we too. Did kind of like maybe the first group? I mean, I imagine they're pretty much almost all retired, but maybe a Chuck Liddell, a Gilbert Melendez.
Who are you talking about? All on the same day or something? Or what do you mean?
All on the show, no? On that show.
Oh, wow. The
15th okay. anniversary show.
Well, that would take some planning, but yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, and then somebody in the middle would be someone like a Luke Rockhold or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And then a guy today would be like Izzy, right? Be fun. Yeah, think it out.
We got time. Although, this sport moves. The calendar moves, you know, like we have this show coming up here on Friday. And then I guess you can, you know, it's the 18th. And there's nothing till the 31st. So that's 13 days. And then I think we have to get to halfway through January before the new year starts off. So it'll be about a month off, I guess, roughly. January 15th is Cater and Chikadze, 1 week before Ngannou and Ngannou and Gone. So, yeah, you know, that'll be our time to kind of maybe plan out a little bit of 2022 and what it can be. And look, if it isn't, 15 years by itself will stand alone. It's just I was just fooling about. That's it. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's rewind a little bit. Let's talk about the World MMA Awards and give these fighters, these notables, their props. I'll go through it real fast, and I'll go three categories at a time, and then feel free to chime in however you'd like. All right. Best MMA programming, The Morning Combat won. That's mm-hmm. Luke Thomas's show with his partner, Brian Campbell. And they are on part of the CBS family. I wish I had who all the nominees were. Do I? No. So I would imagine they'd probably be like Embedded and maybe. Yeah, I just don't know. So congratulations to them is what I'm trying to say. You know, it's usually a tough field, anything that's associated with the UFC. And I believe Embedded's one of the ones that you go against there. So big, big win for those guys.
Yeah, I think we were up for it a couple years ago, and we had to go up against like the Ultimate Fighter or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, it's something where, like, you know, they are all programming, but I feel like there could be just a radio component and a TV component, and then maybe a digital component. But at the same time, they may be like, "Nah, we're good, dog." You know, like this is how we're doing it. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like there's so many different animals. Like it, even the podcast world is different from the radio world. I mean, we've been on SiriusXM and we've podcasted, and they're just different worlds altogether. A podcast and a YouTube channel both can be very successful and lucrative for somebody, but they're also two different worlds. Same as, you know, Twitter and Instagram. But again, how explicit does fighters only want to be with this? Who knows? I just feel like there, you know, there's a big difference, I guess, between the different types of programming that there are. And that's why you'll hear, you know, best R&B album or something, mm-hmm. best country album. You know, I don't think they all go up against each other. Who knows? I haven't even watched one of those in a long time, but you know, there's just different categories of entertainment. I don't want to take away from them. I mean, they won, so that's dope. So congratulations to those guys.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So then the next award was best promotion. I mean, that's going to be hard for the UFC not to win it. They're just so popular. They house the best fighters. Most of them, I should specify, because Bellator, PFL, and ONE Championship also have top fighters. It's just that the UFC has more of them. The UFC puts on more shows. They have more cards. That's the same thing. They have more fighters. And it's just a well-known brand with a huge, long history. I don't see them not ever winning. Do you?
Not really. No. I can't even see anybody really coming close.
Yeah. I would almost be curious just to see who second is. You know, like what do the fans think of the other organizations that are out there? Maybe get an idea of who they think might be doing it right, but. The next one was Gym of the Year. Congratulations, excuse me, to American Top Team. They won it, and I have a few notes here that I think I can source. So, best MMA programming, back to that. Embedded won it, Ultimate Fighter won it, Joe Rogan's MMA podcast won it, but this year Morning Combat won it. And then the other one I just named was before Jim was best promotion. Yeah, I don't even have to look that one up. UFC. Now, in terms of best gym, the best gym has gone to, I know, I think five times these guys have won it, if I'm not mistaken. Here we go. So Jackson's has won it. Vanderlei Training Center's won it. Black House has won it. Caesar Gracie Jiu-Jitsu's won it. Team Alpha Male's won it a couple times. Jackson Wink came back and won it again. So that would have been their second. And then American Top Team's won it the last 5 years. So congratulations to them. They just have numbers, bro. But they have numbers, and they also have belts. And they have contenders. They have ranked fighters. It's really hard to argue against them. Of course, I'd like to see Extreme Couture win one. They haven't won one yet. But I also, you know, understand why American Top Team gets a lot of love.
I'm surprised the PI isn't one of the options. Sometimes I don't get some of these categories, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to argue with American Top Team.
Yeah, I agree. All right. MMA Media Source of the Year goes to ESPN MMA. And I don't want to talk about this one too long. I just want to say congrats to the guys that I know over there, Brett Okamoto. And to be fair, I believe Ariel Helwani was with them. I know he's with MMA Fighting now, but he was with them for part of the run that encompassed, I guess, the year that ONE was voting for. And Mark Ramondi. And I think Jeff Wagenheim and a couple other jokers are over there, but those three I know, you know, at least see them around and give them, you know, the head nod, sometimes bullshit with them, and they do good work. So congratulations to them. Now, where I just wonder how maybe we fit is, for one, I just think we really, really do put out more news and content, but those four letters are so powerful. And those are some big names, you know, on television. And but they also, you know, they're a UFC partner, you know, in this whole business. And so I don't know that it's fair. And I know a lot of people, some people will probably call me a baby and just, you know, accept that that was a result. I think I'd rather just do that, accept that that's the result, maybe point out, you know, what my opinion is. But I don't know. I the only thing one can do is just buckle down, work, and beat them. Simple as that.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say either. Because to me, that they're a partner. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of strange. Right.
It would encourage the UFC to say, hey, look, break this news, you know? And so then one starts to think, wow, they break a lot of news. And maybe they do, you know? I'm sure they come across some stuff, but I just can't help to think that hasn't happened before. And here's why, folks. Here's why. I'll be honest with you. We were a kind of a league partner with the UFC. I don't think to the level of what ESPN was or something, but I know we had a little bit of a relationship. And, you know, during that time, it seemed like we maybe broke an extra story in the newspaper. I know the Fertittas and Dana White love news in print. And so perhaps maybe even we may have benefited from that. But still, you throw out a couple of scoops here and there, and our work stood for itself. You know what I mean? And I know a lot of people kind of tied it into advertising campaigns. But when have we not had a Bellator or a PFL or a ONE Championship by the skin around the blog format? Like that, there wasn't anything there that was partial. So whatever. If it sounds like I'm bitter, I am, because I'm a sore loser. But I've been on the ESPN MMA website. They do put out good work. I just feel like we do more of it, you know?
I always put it as simple as this for me. If you're on a desert island and you can only get your news from one source, is it going to be ESPN? You'll be done reading really quickly. I mean, they're great stories. They go in.
Do they put up Bellator?
I don't know. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's MMA junkie. To me, it's weird. It just seems like all your news is there. Boom, 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 nonstop. Some of these other ones do great things, but they're... we'll just leave it at that, I guess.
I'll finish with this. Ariel and Brett and Mark are solid as they come.
Yeah, they're great at what they do.
And they're, you know, they're super popular, and they deserve what they get paid. And congrats to them. And that's that. And it's, we just got to figure out how to beat them. There you go. Yeah. All right, well, Ariel's now with MMA Fighting, so obviously they've always been a rival of ours, but now we got to contend with ESPN.
If you're a big fan, if you're a big MMA fan, try doing one for a week. Go to ESPN for only 1 week. Get all your news from there. Go to MMA Fighting for a week. Get all your news from there. Go to Junkie for a week. Get all your news there. See which one you could live with.
Mm. Agreed. Moving on. Fighting Spirit goes to Brandon Moreno. What the hell was the Fighting Spirit? What do you know?
I remember it from years past, and I think it's just somebody that like encompasses martial arts, you know, and betters
here
it.
Here it goes. It says, awarded to those within the sport that demonstrate the true character and spirit of martial arts with their actions either inside or outside the cage. Okay, so Brandon obviously was a beast inside the cage. Did he do something that encompassed it outside of the cage? Now, does this have to do with charity, or?
I think it can.
Okay.
I mean, well, like.
I'm not here to argue if that's who they chose. You know, was he just the most popular fighter of the nominees, or did each nominee actually encompass the fighting spirit outside the cage? I don't know.
What Dustin Poirier does is pretty amazing outside of the cage.
Or Justin Wren when he used to fight. Poirier, by the way, gave to Oliveira's charity, so it looks like obviously Oliveira's doing something. So maybe it's just a matter of Brandon Moreno's doing some stuff too. And that would be great. He's from Tijuana, Mexico. If he's giving back in any way, we definitely applaud him. All right. Journalist of the Year. Let me see if I got this right. That one went to Ariel Helwani, and I got to get back to the winner's page. So here it is. I think Ariel's become so big that I feel like he's more of a personality. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think he should be lumped in there with the personalities to see how he would fare against them, because I really feel like he's reached that level.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, but our John Morgan was also nominated, so I was bummed out that he didn't win this. He's the only one that's ever won it aside from Ariel Helwani. He won the first one, but Ariel Helwani's on quite a tear. So there you go. All right, next up. Where am I at here? Ring Card Girl of the Year, Brittany Palmer. Now, this has become a three-headed monster in the last few years, or perhaps even ever. Ariane Celeste, Brittany Palmer, and Jenny Andrade have been the big winners from this category. And I think I have it here in terms of how that stacks up. Ariane's won it 6 times. Brittany Palmer has won it 3 times. And Jenny Andrade has now won it 3 times. Jenny won it 3 times in a row prior to Brittany winning it this year. Sorry, Brittany's now on her 4th. So, yeah, Jenny, she had been on a roll, and then she's lost to Brittany Palmer these last couple of years. Ariane Celeste started off with 4 in a row, and then Brittany broke that up, and then Ariane came back and won 2. And so that's been pretty interesting. That's literally one, I guess, where you would sit on the edge of your seat like, I wonder who's going to win this one. It's kind of hard to predict a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what makes people vote one way or the other. Maybe personal experiences or something. But Jenny Andrade just hasn't been doing as many shows as the other two. So I think it's kind of a two-headed race there.
Referee of the year goes to Herb Dean. That's been a kind of a two-horse race. Herb Dean won the first 5. John McCarthy won the next 3. Herb Dean's won the last 3. So Herb Dean now has a total of 8 of these. And he obviously goes up against stiff competition. For one, John's just the pillar, you know, and it just to beat John is pretty amazing. John's been out of the game, but since then, obviously, we've had a lot of other referees who have made their mark as top refs, like Dan Mergliata, Jason Herzog, Mark Goddard. What's that?
Jason Herzog's a good one.
Yeah, so to beat them is still a monumental task, and congrats to Herb Dean for doing it. Again, that's number 8 for him. Leading man, Dana White. When will it not be Dana White? The day he dies or retires.
Mm-hmm.
Who else would you give it to if not Dana? Is Coker just kind of almost the automatic number 2 at this point? I imagine Chatri Sidjatong and I suppose whoever the leading face is at PFL. Would be next. I'm not sure if that's Ray Cepho. He's more of like talent relations versus, because they have 2 presidents over there. I would imagine Coker's probably the second favorite if Dana White was not in that category.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, they did this the night before. Hopefully Dana was there to receive it. I haven't seen the award show, have you?
He was. Actually, I don't know. Well, eventually I think we get to best promotion, right? Did we already do that or?
Not yet.
I think nobody was there to receive that one or something like that.
That's so stupid. Like, I don't know. I've seen Dana win it, be in town, and not go there to receive it. And if you're not going to be in town to receive it, at least film yourself saying something like, help these guys out. You know how many times the UFC wanted that hand, that helping hand? They were down and they needed to climb a step and somebody would put their hand out and pull them up. Hell, just look, I'll even say it. Doesn't Dana White always tell about how so many doors closed for him, and then former President Donald Trump allowed him to bring his show there? Like, that's a helping hand right there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why couldn't he give Fighters Only that helping hand and say, hey, look, whatever they need, let's help them get this show? The only thing I can think of is, well, we're going to have our own show. But come on, this is the 13th edition. If you haven't figured it out, then you're probably not going to figure it out. But would the UFC want to do that? I'm sure they could probably make it bigger. You know, they got the money and the resources. But, you know, would you really want to leave out, you know, the other promotions? Because the UFC awards, they wouldn't give an award to Bellator or PFL or anyone else. And you got to include them, you know. Like, I know the NFL gets compared to the UFC, and rightfully so in some regards. But outside of the NFL, you're not going to give really an award to like Canadian football or arena football or any other version of football that there may be out there. I just don't see what they could do unless Canadian football had a guy that punted 80 yards every single time. And all right, no one in the NFL comes close. Let's give him best punter, I suppose. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So get with the act, UFC. Help these guys out. All right. Next up, analyst of the year, Michael Bisping. That was cool. That was different. Like, if you would have told me, guess who won? I probably would have said Cruz, DC. You know, talent and popularity. But Bisping got it. So that, you know, this is voted by the fans. That's great for him.
Mm-hmm. Props to him, yeah.
Cruz won the first three. DC won the last two, but now we're at Bisping. All right, next up, Trainer of the Year, Phil DeRue. And I forget again who he was up against, but I believe he – let me see if I have it here, if he's won it before.
I think he has.
I know last year they had it, and nobody they didn't address it. It was kind of poorly done. He had to find out who won it, but he went to the show, and it was kind of – they kind of fumbled it a little bit. So Dolce's obviously dominated it, but, yeah, Nick Kersen – Mike Dolce, and now Phil DeRue for the second time. Congrats to Phil DeRue. And do you have any objection to any of these, by the way, or are you kind of on board? Like, is Bisping your favorite analyst, for example?
He's not. It's not, there's not one that I really dislike, but I really get a kick out of Paul Felder. Okay. Because I think he can do everything everybody else can. I think at times, for the reasons you like Daniel Cormier, where people go, well, he just kind of seems like a guy's guy. He's having fun out there. And I think Paul can do that. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I think Paul can be super technical. But I also, what I like about Paul is I think he knows his role. Like, he gives everybody else their opportunity. When it's time for them to speak, he stays mm-hmm. quiet, lets them speak. Mm-hmm. And I just think he's really good. At what he does.
I can agree with all that. And then as far as ref, I think Mirgliata and Herzog, I remember them having a pretty consistent year. I've been pleased with their work. So not to say I wouldn't have given it to Herb. I don't have a problem with that, but maybe those refs will get some shine soon. Coach of the Year, Trevor Whitman. Congrats to him. I got to imagine that UFC 268 helped a lot. Well, was the voting done by then? It may have even been done.
The really time periods is what makes everything so confusing, man.
I know.
Because if you take away just one fight from someone, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal for someone.
That night he finished with Kamaru, Rose, and Gaethje, three winners on one of the biggest cards of the year. Mm-hmm. So if the voting was happening still at that time, then that may have helped them put him over the top. It also helps to have that gig with the UFC that I believe now has become Dean Thomas's, maybe, or I don't know if they share it, but you know, he gets a little bit of shine there. So
good for him. Way, props to Dean Thomas. That was awesome.
Stephen A. Smith.
That was great.
It was. I agree. International Fighter of the Year, Israel Adesanya. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, Israel Adesanya. I don't have too much of a problem there, do you?
I don't think he
won it once before. This is the second time. Ong Lasong has won it before. Robert Whittaker, Khabib Nurmagomedov, Conor McGregor, Alexander Gustafsson, Michael Bisping, Alistair Overeem, two-time. So this one's been spread out a little bit. Even Gegard Mousasi's gotten in on the act.
Mm-hmm.
Personality of the year, DC. I'm sure he probably went up against Rogan and Anik, maybe. But see, Anik could possibly be an analyst, even though he's play-by-play. I don't know, but congrats to DC. I think he's got a lot of personality, so he probably deserves this one.
I thought, I think Laura Senko was up for that one as well.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Wow, and with the fans voting, you think she'd win almost every award you put her in. You could put her in Referee of the Year award, and they'd probably vote her in.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan's won it most of the years. Chael Sonnen won it 1 year. So DC breaks through here. All right, next up, comeback of the year, Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler. Yeah, that was one hell of a comeback. I agree. You good with this one?
Yeah. I mean, he was pretty far out.
Mm-hmm. Other comebacks were like Miocic against Cormier. Remember Cormier was whooping on him, and then Miocic found the body shots.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good one. Misha Tate against Holly Holm. That one almost might be the GOAT of comebacks. Of course, there's the Congo Berry one.
That one, so, I think, is.
Yeah. Good stuff there. All right. Now we're towards the finish here. Breakthrough Fighter of the Year, Brandon Moreno. I personally don't feel like he broke through anything. I think he's either just up for Fighter of the Year or International Fighter of the Year. But what did he break through? The guy's been legit for like the last 2 years. Is it an award for contenders that break through and become champs? Or I feel like there's breakthrough to me sounds more like a no name becoming a household name.
I don't know that you have to be a no name. I think you just take like a big step. And I can agree with that. I think he took a big step.
Like Jorge Masvidal, when he won it in 2019, that's perfect because he beat Tarantino. Then he beat Ben Askren. And then he was the BMF later that year. That's one hell of a year. His popularity soared through the roof and he became the sport's second biggest star in terms of pay-per-views. So I thought he was a guy that was punching the clock, doing very well for himself in two different divisions, but then he became an actual superstar in 2019. So I really, really liked that one. But Brandon Moreno, I thought his skills keeping him towards the top, competing for a title, there really wasn't much he broke through. He was already like one of the top guys, I guess. Who knows? Who knows, man? I don't know. It's not my award, right? Not my award show. Submission of the year, Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Justin Gaethje. I mean, I can't remember all the submissions for the last period of time. So, yeah, that one sounds like a good one. It's on a big stage, and he got him.
What about the kid that got Jacare? Did that fall under?
I believe so, because I think it went from June of 2020 to June of 2021. So, yeah, that happened in April, if I'm not mistaken. It was. Yeah. Previous winners were Damian Maya over Ben Askren, Zabit Magomed Sharipov versus Brandon Davis, Demetrius Johnson versus Ray Borg. Now, that one was slick. Nate Diaz versus Connor. That's somebody giving up right there. Rousey versus Ngannou, that was pretty amazing because it was so quick. So there's some that are based here on just being unique and paramount, and then there's others where they're just like, I think, a popularity contest.
I mean, like, I just think it's something where you got your jaw has to drop. Like what happened with Amanda and Juliana Pena, where your jaw just drops and you go, wait a minute, I'm so used to it being this way, and now it's that way. Those are like the submissions I think that really get me. Like I think just submitting Jacare alone is pretty nuts, but breaking his arm, like, good God, you'd never expect that.
Exactly. Now here's a good one. I think here's where one where when you hear it, you turn to the guy next to you and go, oh, fucking cheers. I mean, I can't think of anything bigger. Upset of the year, Adriano Moraes versus Demetrius Johnson. That's solid.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Your mic's tripping a little.
How about now?
Now you're a little low. Talk again.
How about now?
Yeah, you got really low, Juanes. Disappear and come back. I'll keep going here. All right. So, upset of the year, Adriano Moraes over Demetrius Johnson. That, you know, folks, come on, man. Demetrius Johnson is one of the GOATs in our sport, bar none, pound for pound. So, yeah, him getting handled the way he did, you got to give Adriano Moraes his due. And at that point in time, what I would have said was the winner of the upset of the year goes to Adriano Moraes. And Juliana Pena, I heard your I guess they couldn't have said it because she hadn't done it yet. So there goes my dumb joke, my dumb bit. But what I'm trying to tell you is if that ain't locked up, you know, like Juliana Pena's, she might as well stick around and they could already film it, you know, on Sunday morning for next year's upset of the year, right? All right, so we're having technical difficulties with Goes. But yeah, upset of the year, I'm sure he was going to agree with me there, unless he's got a gem up his sleeve. Knockout of the year, Joaquin Buckley over Impa Kasanganai. Yes, I remember that one. That one was slick. It's hard to top that one. There were some vicious KOs throughout the year, but that was the jaw dropper. That's the ESPN top 10 KO, you know, like, that was seriously some pretty sick shit. I don't think anyone had a problem with that one. That was just he was an athletic phenom the way he got in the air and did that. So congratulations to Joaquin Buckley for knockout of the year. I think Goes may be back. Let's see if we can connect with him.
Goes? That one, Joaquin Buckley would be a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, I hear you. Nobody's gonna have a problem with that one. No. All right, next up is, and I'm pretty sure you didn't have a problem with Adriana Moraes over Demetrius Johnson, right?
No.
Okay. Fight of the year, Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno one. So that would have been the one last December when they fought to a draw. That was legit. And there's been some great fights. So that one's just, what's your palate take? What do you want? You want to see a fight at the highest level? Then that was probably it. If you want to see some slobber knocker where they literally were way more bloodier than these two, yeah, there was probably a bunch of fights that fit that criteria as well. So I don't think there's a problem, much of a problem with this one, to tell you the truth. That was a legit fight. We're only really piping up if we have a problem with the winner, and we really don't have a problem with that fight. So off we go. We go to female fighter of the year, Rose Namajunas. Yeah, I mean, I think Valentina was a little more active, but, you know, Rose versus Zhang Weili was pretty epic. I mean, she clowned her pretty quick. That's the one that qualifies. So, I don't know about that one. I guess I'm. She's pretty good, but whatever. I mean, I think Valentina's a little more active. Yeah.
Next year will be interesting.
It is. Last one. The fighter of the year, Kamaru Usman. Now, see, it don't get any more solid than that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Good guy, great fighter, fighting the best fighters he can fight.
Yeah, he beat Masvidal, Gilbert Burns, and recently Covington. Covington, I guess, doesn't fit under the year that they pointed out, but still, he might be the best there is at this moment. All right, congrats to Fighters Only. I applaud them for doing what they've done for many years. I think there's a lot of people that really, really are proud of their, the awards that they won, including us. So keep it coming, Fighters Only, and please, everyone, if you're involved in this, be it by nomination or you happen to win, pay them the respect, man. Do your best to show or send in that video or something. But yeah, you're right, Goes. When they won best promotion and nobody was there, come on, man. There's got to be a matchmaker in the fucking house. Somebody, right? Mark Ratner's all over Las Vegas. He doesn't miss an event. I couldn't believe it couldn't even at least be him.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I heard that.
I think I heard that too. Yeah, okay. I don't think you're wrong. All right. So this weekend we have UFC Fight Night, Lewis versus Dawkus. It's also known as UFC Fight Night 199. UFC on ESPN Plus 57. It's headlined by Derek Lewis versus Chris Dawkus. However, after I tell you who's fighting, you're all going to go, oh, wait a minute. Oh, shit. I can't miss this card. It's pretty good. Stephen Thompson versus Bilal Muhammad. Amanda Lemos. Huh?
I love that fight.
Me too. Amanda Lemos versus Angela Hill. Rafael Assuncao versus Ricky Simone. Carlos Diego Fajeda versus Mateus Gamrot. Cub Swanson versus Darren Elkins. Dustin Stolzis versus Gerald Meerschaert. Hani Barcelos versus Victor Henry. Justin Toffa versus Harry Hunsucker. Yeah. Sijara Eubanks versus Melissa Gatto. Charles Jourdain versus Andre Ewell. Raquel Pennington versus Macy Chasson. By the way, that one's taking place at 145 pounds. I read that today. Jordan Levitt versus Matt Sales. Dontale Mays versus Josh Parisian.
Elkins and Swanson is going to be epic, I think. Those both guys can take good shots. They'll stand in the pocket. It'd be fun if it hit the ground. It'll be fun standing. I think that's give those two men their bonuses now.
Goes real quick. If you only had two superlatives, one is steak and one is hamburger, for you to refer to this fight, I'm going to say the fight and you tell me, oh yeah, that's steak. Obviously, that's a good fight. And if it's like not steak, it's hamburger. Ready? Yeah. So Lewis versus Dawkus.
Hamburger.
Really? You think that's a hamburger fight?
Yeah, because think of what would make your mouth water in a heavyweight fight. This would be like, it'd take you a while to get to this, wouldn't it? I mean,
well, Dawkins has been on a little bit of a roll, and Derek's fights are usually fun. I thought this, you know, it's not upper echelon, meaning like one versus two, but okay. I mean, it's your decision. That's fine. How about Muhammad versus Thompson?
I came home tonight with a hamburger, but did I skip in? Did I skip through the living room going, woohoo, can't wait to crack into this hamburger? It's still tasty. I'm good with it. It's going to be a fun fight, but steak is steak, dog.
Thompson versus Muhammad.
I think that's steak.
Lemus versus Hill.
Hamburger.
Asuncao versus Simone.
Ew. That's like Salisbury steak.
Fajita versus Gamrot. That's hamburger. Swanson versus Elkins.
That's steak.
I think so too. And what people need to understand is those guys matter in our sport because they've put in their dues. They've paid their dues. They've put in the work. So people out there care. They ride with these guys. They care if they win and they lose. And that's why sometimes that guy that might be 4-4 in his last eight just matters more than the no name that's 7-1 in his last eight. So I agree, goes that steak. I think the only one that might be steak is maybe Chasson versus Pennington.
I like it because it to me, it feels like a pretty even matchup right now, considering how Raquel Pennington's looked over the last couple of years.
Right.
I think this could be a pretty even matchup. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know that a win for either one of them puts them anywhere, right? It's just kind of fun. It's just like a fun matchup.
So it's hamburger?
It's like a real tough New York steak.
A $20 burger?
It's not a filet mignon. Yeah, maybe it's like one of them $8 burgers at Carl's Jr.
Burgers can be fun too?
Yeah.
All right.
It's like a Red Robin burger.
Those are good. And those steak fries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are tough to beat. All right, in the news as of late, I guess. What's so funny?
Did I ever tell you about the girl that sneezed in my Red Robin fries?
No, what happened?
Oh, man, dude. I love Red Robin fries. So their policy is they just never end, right? If they see you running out, they bring you a new one. But sometimes I think they take their time. And so as you're eating your burger, you're like, man, where the fuck are these fries, right? I think that's where they get you. By the time they bring them, you're like done with your burger. So I was dying for these fries, and she was bringing them. And just as she was about to put them down, she just goes, achoo! And she sneezed right in. And I couldn't understand, like, why couldn't you have looked the other way or something? Like, she sneezed right into it. And then she even gave me a look like, you still want these? I was like, no, I don't still want these. Like, get out of here. But I remember she sneezed in it, dude. Ugh.
I think the strategy there is when you get your burger and your fries and they go, can I get you anything else? You tell them a ton of napkins, because I get that teriyaki one, so it gets messy.
Yeah.
More water, and that's even if you are only a quarter of it in, you know you're going to be slurping it down once you're eating. So might as well start refilling it. And I think that's about the time where you just go, you might as well bring them fries over because we're going to blast these. Because you're right, goes, if you're halfway through and you go, man, we're out of fries, you're halfway through your burger. By the time they go back there and do all that shit and they bring them, they're going to bring them. There's piping hot. The burger's done. Y ya pa que.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Is it safe to say that in the next 72 hours you're gonna kill a Red Robin burger and some fries? Like, are you thinking about it already?
Yeah,
me too. It's as easy as that. Poirier tells Nate Diaz, "I'll fight you this month." You know what it reminds me of is those guys in Tombstone when they're walking out of the saloon and they run into the Earps and one of them goes, "I'll fight you right now."
Yeah.
You know, I like seeing stuff like that. It's the fight game. That's what they do. And that's interesting. You know, I mean, did he mean in 3 days on Saturday? Or did he mean like on the 31st, just me and you at the Apex, like Apollo Creed and Rocky Balboa? Or did he mean within a month, put us on that Anaheim card?
That's what he meant.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That's the only place you can put it, I think. So I think that's what he means. Can you imagine?
That would really, really add to that card. I think that card lost Cannonier versus Brunson. That got moved to UFC 271. So that would be a nice replacement.
Mm-hmm.
That's one hell of a way to kick off the year. Marino versus Figueredo. That'll be huge because there's a lot of, there's a big Mexican contingent in California. Ngannou versus Gone is tremendous because that's the baddest men on the planet going, you know, it's not only just the UFC heavyweight title. Whoever wins is the B-mob, baddest man on the planet. But then you also throw that barn burner fight of Diaz versus Poirier. I hopefully the UFC says, hopefully the UFC calls him and says, you know, are you guys down? Because we'll take you up on it if you are. And if they are, fuck, you can't send them those bout agreements quick enough.
I've never heard BMOP before. Did you just put that on the map or is that a thing?
I think I've heard it before.
Oh, all right.
I don't hear it all the time, but I think I've heard it before. And if not, sure. Yeah, I'll take, I love taking credit for stuff that I didn't do. But Greg Hardy versus Alexi Olenek on the card. See, that's nice, but it ain't. That's a, I think that's a steak. Stamen versus Said Nurmagomedov. God, I hate to say this, but the hamburger was the other one. And I think this one might be a hamburger too, but not because of Cody. I think because of Nurmagomedov, who carries a steak name, but he's not Habib. He's Said.
We gotta go. We gotta create a system or something, you know, because there's like there's double patty hamburgers. Like, I mean,
It makes it too easy because now we're allowed to like this way you're faced with a tough decision.
But think about walking into the room. Not every hamburger is like, you're going to walk in and Cody Stamen's going to be like, I ain't in your league right now. Like looking at other people. That guy's just going to go, hey man, we're all hamburger in here. I think he's going to go, not all of us. I mean, like, I think at least give us like two different types of one. You know, like there's filet mignon and there's ribeye, you know, like something.
We'll see. Right. But think about it. You want to go when you do rapid fire. You don't want to go. Is this filet mignon? Is this a sirloin steak? Is this a double patty burger? Or is this just a burger? But by then you got people tuning out of the podcast. It's easy. Steak or hamburger. Steak or hamburger. Steak or hamburger. And the other guy's like steak, burger, steak, burger, steak, burger.
Hamburger's so fucked up. Like, all right.
Here's what Goz is saying. Goz knows that one day he's gonna walk into Extreme Couture. Someone's gonna go. Someone's going to look at him and go, hamburger, huh, bitch? All right, we'll see. You know, like, all right. UFC 270 is Movzar Evloev versus Ilia Topuria. This could have potential for steak because these guys are going to continue going up the charts. Watch out for these guys as bantamweights, or excuse me, featherweights. Both guys are really, really tough. Right now, their names are more on the hamburger level, but watch. I think these guys are going to have big 2022s. This is a pivotal fight for both guys. Poliana Botello versus G. Young Kim. Those are some burgers as well. Warley Alves versus Jack Delia. Burgers. Tom Gravely versus Seaman Oliveira. Rodolfo Vieira versus Wellington Turman. See, you know what these sound like, goes? Almost like somebody walked into Sean Shelby's office and said, hey, man, we need to give these guys fights. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just it's four fights in 38 months, and it's like the 36th month. Like we got to give it to him, otherwise we got to pay him. And he goes, "Well, put Turman and Vieira together." All right, cool. You guys agree? Yeah, cool. It doesn't seem like there's much there. They're just kind of throwing bodies out there. Like it, you know, it's not as pivotal.
I don't know how they do it. Like if you were to break down our family members, I go, "What do you think about this guy and this guy coming over?" It would take me a while to go, "Who's the son of who?" Like. I don't know how these guys like fucking put this together. Like Wellington Turman. Like, I mean, I remember him, but I couldn't tell you his last three fights or some shit like that. Like that you need to know to put a fight together. Don't you hear a name? Like mom will go like, oh yeah, your cousin Max something died. And you kind of like, you feel bad, you know, you got to say something, but in your head you're going, ooh, who the fuck is that? Like, and that's family, you know, like, I don't know how these guys can do this with all these weight divisions and shit.
Yeah. I was going to say the one nice thing about the UFC is they're so powerful and so bully-esque in the way they operate. It's, you know, I feel like every weekend they plan a family reunion. And you know, if you and I were to do a family reunion, the first family we call might go, yeah, we're in. The second one will go, can't you do it the week after? And the third week will go, can we bring our dogs and can we bring the two Mormon kids that are staying with, you know, it's like, oh, here we go. You know, and is there going to be a hotel with some sort of a discount? Do we give the last? You know, it's like where you just go, God, what have I gotten myself into? The UFC just goes, you know, January 22nd, be there, bitch. You know, we're sending you the ticket, be on that fucking plane. Like they're like mafia members in that regard. And you have no choice. If not, you don't get paid. So you just go, rightio, I'll be there. I'll be in Sao Paulo. I'll be in Anaheim. I'll be at that damn Apex. You don't miss that flight or nothing. You know, and that's why the UFC has that successful business, because they've kind of created that model of you need us until you become so big and then we play the game.
Right. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah. So Vieira and Thurman fans, this is your night, January 22nd at the Honda Center. Trevin Giles versus Michael Morales. Viviana Araujo versus Alexa Grasso. Matt Frivola versus Hanaro Valdez. And Kay Jansen versus Jasmine Jasu DeVicious. So, yes, goes. I guess the reason I went through all that is basically to reaffirm Valdez versus Poirier.
Okay.
Yeah. Where else are we here? So, that's news. The UFC has kind of updated a story that went out where the fighters, it became known that fighters would now have to pay for their own COVID tests. Mm-hmm. And after conferring with the UFC, what we've heard is basically when the fighters do that, the UFC will reimburse them. It was just a lot easier than the UFC sending these tests to every fighter. You know, they're all over the world, obviously. It was easier for the fighters to do what they needed to do and then obviously present a receipt and just get reimbursed. And so by the time the story came out, it just looked like the UFC was kind of turning their back on the fighters and adding an extra cost, which is it doesn't appear is happening. So,
you know, it's good.
Stephen Wonderboy Thompson saying, I'm willing to go through Shamayev to get the Usman. Now, first up is Muhammad, and I don't think he's overlooking him. But I think what's happening now is Shamayev has kind of created this deal with his persona where everyone's scared to fight him. Magny's already said, I'll fight him. And I think Thompson's realizing, you know, nobody thinks this is a picnic, a walk in the park. But I think what Thompson's thinking is, if I beat Muhammad, it ain't enough. I don't think I got next. You know, it's obviously going to be Usman and Edwards, it appears. And so who's after him? We don't know. Covington just had a nice representation of himself. However, he's 0-2 against Usman. But if Usman were to lose to Leon Edwards and somehow not be able to run an immediate rematch, it'd be hard to overlook a guy like Covington. Masvidal sells a lot of tickets. If he gets a win somewhere in that mix, he's obviously a popular choice as well. And I think that's what Stephen Thompson's realizing. Man, I got Vicente Luque. I got Covington. Masvidal's super popular. I got to do something that can make some noise. And beating Muhammad and Shamayev, I think, could get me into a title shot. And you know what, goes? That might be the play for him.
That would tell a lot about what the UFC thinks of Shamayev. Because if I'm the UFC, if I want Shamayev to be successful, I keep him the hell away from Stephen Thompson. Regardless of what you think of, I've seen way too many people have problems with Stephen Thompson's style that I wouldn't risk that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Good fight for Stephen Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be either a super boring fight, or if Thompson lights him up real quick or Shamayev drowns him, then, you know, obviously that would be ideal in terms of what the UFC is trying to sell. But it could also be too tactical of a chess match, especially if Shamayev gets frustrated and can't get this guy down on his feet. I mean, this guy's just a moving target for 15 minutes. If I'm Thompson, I'm fighting this guy, not in the Apex. I want to fight him in the bigger cage, you know, the 30-foot cage. I need more room to operate. Like Ghost said, Dean Thomas did a great impersonation of Stephen A. Smith. Check that out on the front page of MMA Junkie. It's part of our Blue Corner series, you know, the lighter side of stuff. I think you guys will really, really dig it. Ghost, when I clicked it, I was expecting to see, you know, it said 2 minutes. I thought, oh, he probably nailed, like, a couple lines, maybe 10, 15 seconds is gold, and then the rest is like, turn it off. Dude, this guy was solid for all 2 minutes.
I mean, look, it's no secret. I think a lot of people know by this time, but by now, that Adam Hunter writes a lot of the jokes. But you can't write a joke and have somebody just walk out and say it and it's going to be funny. It's Dean Thomas's delivery is money on this. You could tell mm-hmm. he took the time to sit there and watch Stephen A. Mm-hmm. And his mannerisms, and that's pretty freaking cool, man. But there were some lines that Adam probably threw that were pretty funny. Cyclops, I think. Didn't he call Cyborg Cyclops or something like that?
I wonder how Stephen A. took it. Has anybody seen a reaction out of him?
I don't know.
I think it's best to just laugh along, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just laugh along.
Laugh along with it, yeah. So Brunson and Cannoneer shifts from 270 to 271. 271 is going to take place in February. It's going to take place in Houston, Texas. And the main event there, as I pivot to that news story, is Israel Adesanya versus Robert Whittaker. Of course, when that news kind of was not being broken, but when Dana White was addressing it at the post-fight press conference at UFC 269, Israel Adesanya put up an emoji, you know, insinuating a lie. But here we are 48 hours later talking about the fight. So I don't know if a T was crossed and an I was dotted or a zero was added or what, but it sounds like once they announce it, it's moving forward. So I don't know what Israel Adesanya was why he did that or if something really changed within those 48 hours.
I'll tell you one thing. I will probably never pick against Israel Adesanya again. That dude's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, but Whitaker's been on one hell of a run. Hell of a run.
He has.
Okay. Kayla Harrison tells Juliana Pena, be careful what you say, because Juliana Pena said Kayla Harrison has been winning at the B leagues. Okay. Let's be straight shooters here. What Juliana Pena wasn't far off in terms of level of competition. Now, granted, it's a division that doesn't even have anything to do with the UFC. It's 155 pounds. For all we know, those could really be the toughest 155 pounders in the world because we don't have 155 pounders in the UFC or in Bellator where we can go, you don't have those ladies in there. Now, I would say Cyborg could probably go in there and say, I'm 155 pounds walking, so I'm in. And I bet you Amanda could probably go in there. But other than that, I'm not sure that there's a couple 45ers that are being hung on to that could go there and make it necessarily the A leagues. It may be the A league. They may have the lightweight A leagues. They definitely seem to have the top 155er in the world until we see Amanda and Cyborg perform there. But I think it's just that little energy that Pena gives off when she's kind of talking smack. I think that's what's going to be irritating for some women if Pena becomes a personality that starts doing a lot of media and running her mouth.
Well, what I find interesting is they're never going to fight. They're two weight classes away from each other. So to me, when Kayla Harrison says that, that means if I see you, you might get slapped. That makes it interesting for me. As far as B leagues, I mean, I understand where Juliana's coming from, but at the same time, like, those B leagues have produced UFC champions before, so it's not like it's out of the realm for somebody. I mean, look at Michael Chandler, was seconds away from winning the belt. Justin Gaethje's about to fight for it. You know what I'm saying? Eddie Alvarez won it. He came from Bellator.
Well, WEC, they were considered B leagues at 55. There was no Bantam or Feather in the UFC, but at 55, a lot of people considered their 55ers kind of B leagues to the UFC. Oh. And both Pettis and Benson Henderson became world champions in the UFC, you know, and Cowboy Cerrone was a contender for a long time. So Castillo was a contender, you know, not maybe not top contender, but he went out there and he did well for himself as a UFC guy. So Strikeforce, same thing. They had a lot of their guys come over and they were considered, we'll say, a B league, I guess, but plenty of their fighters came over and made some noise in the UFC. So yeah.
Anthony Pettis and Fabricio Werdum are former champions. Look what happened to them in PFL. I mean, you could easily play that game going the other way too.
Yeah. Kevin Lee signed with Eagle FC. That's Khabib Nurmagomedov's promotion. So he already has his landing spot. I think it's a good signing for Eagle FC. And for Kevin Lee, it seems like a fresh start. And I think I'm wondering if Kevin Lee even ran into Ray Sefo at the gym and said, you got me, dog, you know, or what, or if that was even talked about before he went to this option, or maybe the money was just too good, or what?
Well, I know a big part of it is the weight class. He's going to be fighting at 165, which I think is very, very cool of them putting together. So I think that was a big deal for him.
Yeah. And then DC, why does he want these problems? He makes Charles Oliveira the favorite against Justin Gaethje. He just got into it with Justin Gaethje when he was talking about who might be next. He was pushing for Islam Makhachev. Gaethje checked him. He had the Dominic Cruz problems this past weekend. I just think at this point in time, goes, I want to just end 2021. I just say, boy, that's a great fight. I can't wait to watch it, or if I'm lucky enough to call it, to call it. You know that the minute he was going to throw out somebody being a favorite, it's going to ruffle feathers.
Yeah, for sure.
Nobody but was I'll wondering who was going to be the favorite. I don't think it's, you know, it's we're just happy that the fight's being made, but I don't think anyone's wondering the odds yet.
He ain't far off though. It ain't crazy. I'll tell you that. Like, Charles Oliveira is showing a lot of improvement, but Justin Gaethje is just like, it really takes a lot to stop a dude like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like steroids accusations if you don't have anything to back them up. And even more so with the UFC having USADA at the wheel. You know, it seems like random testing and the type of testing that they do is going to usually nab all the cheaters if they haven't already. In fact, they have. But Sean Strickland, in his interview with Mike Bond, he was so funny at times, just how wacky he was. And I think he might actually get away with it in that he joked about something, pulled back, complimented the fighters, joked, pulled back, you know, shot some arrows. That interview was something else, man. But I just want to say, I think the UFC is doing as much as they can in terms of that. So I almost consider that a baseless accusation at this point.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, if there's no proof, it's really hard to do.
Yeah. And if they do it, well, they get tested enough to get caught. I don't know what else you could do other than test them every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anyway. Look, I think that's a good recap of all the latest news that's out there. A couple big fights were made by Bellator to start off their new year. So on February 25th in Dublin, Ireland, Gegard Mousasi is going to defend his Bellator middleweight title against Austin Vanderford. And then I thought another big one that was put out was the Ryan Bader fight against Vadim. Oh boy, I'm blanking it on his last name, but you know who I'm talking about. He's fighting Valentin Moldovsky. Sorry, I'm thinking of the light heavyweights. The light heavyweight champion. No, Bader's defending. That's right, against Valentin Moldovsky at Bellator 273. So, some big announcements there for Bellator.
I like it. We're going to be talking to Austin Vanderfort soon. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like Ghost said, you can check out a lot of the work we do over on our YouTube page, youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. You can follow us on social media. I'm at MMA Junkie George, and Ghost is at the Ghost. Retweets, shares, we see them all, and we thank you for all of those. It's been a great year. We still have a few more shows to go. I think by next Monday, we'll be clear cut on what we will have the rest of the way. I can't see us probably doing that Thursday show next week, although I don't, to be fair, Ghost and I are always willing to crank a show out. It's just whether or not we have the producer and the editor to do it. So it's looking more than likely like next week will just be one show, but we'll have all that for you on Monday. We definitely will be here on Sunday night or Monday to give you that show. And then we'll tell you what's the haps for the rest of the year. And I guess even the early part of January, if we don't catch your ear before then, obviously Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever it is you celebrate. Peace, joy, prosperity throughout these holidays all the way into the new year. And I do want to give a shout out to definitely not someone in our family who we don't know who passed away. This is a dear lady of named Aunt Mena, and she was a younger sister to our grandmother. Mena lived 99 years, and she recently passed away. She took a fall in September. But prior to that, I'm telling you, she was pretty close to a Sharpe's attack. But this fall really, really deteriorated her health. And so we recently heard the news that she passed away a few days ago. And that one always hurts, you know, even though it's a couple generations ahead of her and we may not have seen her much as of late, you know. And every time I saw her, I felt like there was a blueprint of our grandmother goes, you know, them being sisters and all.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, she'll be missed. You know, we have these certain little pillars in our family, and she was one of them. So
definitely. My heart goes out to our cousin Giovanna and her kids. And then obviously my Aunt Mena's remaining brother and sister, which would be brothers and sister, which would be Juan, Antonio, and Marcella. Anyway, all right. Obviously, again, deepest condolences to all of them. And we will see you all on Monday. Enjoy the rest of the week. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie for the best coverage of the Fight Night card with Derek Lewis and Chris Daukus. And we'll see you all in time for Monday's show. Until then, go out there and be a champion.